The November 25th regular meeting is in order. First item up is the call to order and the roll call. Mr. Updike.
Here.
Mr. Berman.
Here.
Mr. Brannigan is here. Mr. Hanselman.
Here.
Mr. East is not here. He's excused. Mr. Escobar. Mr. Updike.
Still here.
Yeah, still here. Yeah. Well, you never know. I mean,
the new member is also here.
And Robert Bear.
Here.
Robert Bear. Okay. First order of business is the approval of the minutes of the work session and the regular session meetings of October 28th. Mr. Berman.
Having read and reviewed the minutes for the work session of October 28th and the regular session minutes of October 28th, I move that we approve them as written with one minor exception. Sherry, I think you've normally been noting when people are attending by video.
Yes.
So on the regular session, that note is missing. Other than that, I found nothing else and would move we approve them.
Ooh, that was good. You're a second.
I'll second that.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none.
You have one abstain.
Okay.
I wasn't there.
You're right. Okay. Okay, next, citizens' public comment. Public comment form is available immediately inside the council chambers. Anyone who would like to address the Planning Commission on any matter on the agenda, not on the agenda, will be given the opportunity after submitting a form. Each speaker should limit comments to 3 minutes. The normal disposition of these items will be at the next scheduled Planning Commission meeting. Action item. Action items?
There are no action items.
Okay, next is public hearings. I have to read a script here for the record. This is the time set for a public hearing on a proposal to adopt or amend Newport Municipal Code, Comprehensive Plan, Map Inventories, Land Use Regulations, or other policy documents that affect the city or large portion of it. And we're gonna be talking about comprehensive plan map and zoning map amendments related to the redevelopment of the Central Lincoln PUD administrative office. This statement applies to all hearings on the agenda. All testimony and evidence presented toward the request being heard must be directed toward the relevant criteria and the Newport Comprehensive Plan, Newport Municipal Code, or other land use regulations or standards which the speaker believes to apply to the decision. The failure of anyone to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the Planning Commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue will preclude appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals, which is known as LUBA, based on that issue. An issue which may be the basis for an appeal to LUBA shall be raised not later than the close of the record at or following this evidentiary hearing. Such issue shall be raised and accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the city decision makers and the parties an adequate opportunity to respond to each issue. The failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the city to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Prior to the conclusion of a hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence, arguments, or testimony regarding the application. If such a request is made, then the hearing will be continued to a date certain and schedule set for submittal of additional testimony. The period for parties to respond to the new testimony and a period whereby the applicant can provide final arguments. I don't believe there's anybody on Zoom.
That is correct.
So we can skip that script. At this time, I would ask the commission members to disclose any actual or potential financial interest they may have related to the agenda items.
I don't have, excuse me, I don't have a financial interest. I do attend on a regular basis the one of the neighboring churches.
Okay.
Just a drive-by for
drive
me.
By.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing from anybody Nothing. Else, okay. If anyone present has an objection to the participation of any commissioner or the commission as a whole, please raise that objection now. Don't hear it, okay. The Planning Commission is required to hold at least one public hearing before making a recommendation to the City Council on how to proceed with a legislative proposal. City Council will hold a public hearing at a later date at which it will consider the Commission's recommendation and will take additional public testimony. A few announcements before we start the public hearing. The hearing will proceed in the following order. Staff report, public testimony. The record closes for public testimony, Commission deliberation and questions, and Commission recommendation. All testimony and evidence submitted, either oral or in writing, must be directed toward the relevant issues. If any person believes that other issues apply in addition to those addressed in the staff report, those issues must be discussed while the record is open. If you fail to raise an issue on the record supported by statements or evidence sufficient to give the city or other parties an opportunity to respond to the issue, you may be precluded from appealing on that issue to LUBA. There are sign-up cards at the entrance of the hearing room to be filled out by anyone wishing to testify. The cards should then be given to the city staff. When you're called to testify, state your name and address for the record. If you can, identify the issue to which your testimony is directed by stating the section of the ordinance, comprehensive plan, state statute, or other legal authority to which your evidence or arguments are directed. Avoid repetitive testimony. And during the hearing, we ask the audience to refrain from demonstrations in support of any testimony. Okay, staff report.
Thank you. Derek Tokos, Newport Community Development. So we have just a single public hearing tonight. This is a request by the Central Lincoln People's Utility District to change the land use classification of two properties in the northwest corner of their land holding where they have their headquarters building located there at US 101 Edenview. These two properties are currently under our comprehensive plan map in a low density residential designation. And under zoning, they are R1 low density single family. So the two residential lots are at 243 Northwest 23rd Street and 2228 Northwest 9th Street. They're identified as tax lots 800 and 801 respectively, county tax map 10-11-32-DC. But again, 0.29 acres total. Neither of those properties are developed. So just for purposes of the record, this is two requests that are bundled. The Planning Commission makes a recommendation to the City Council. The City Council at a future public hearing would make the decision. And that decision would be done by ordinance. We have a comprehensive plan map that provides very general designations under which you typically have multiple zoning designations. So in this case, you have low density residential as the comprehensive plan map designation. Under that, we have R1 and R2 zoning. This happens to be R1 zoning. They're looking to change this to commercial. We have three different commercial zoning designations, C1, C2, C3. They are looking to place these two properties into a C1 zoning, retail and service commercial, which is consistent with the balance of their landholding, which include, you know, where their existing headquarters building is built. The reason they're making this request now is that they're looking to tear down their existing headquarters and rebuild it in a manner that's seismically, that meets current seismic standards. This rezoning and comp plan map change will give them greater flexibility with respect to how they situate the new building, because the soils vary on that site. And so you know, relative difficulty in construction is different depending on where the building's placed. They also point out in their application, they have some, as part of this process, they're also keeping in mind their staging needs, because they do stage at that location during emergencies. So they want to keep that in mind as they think about redevelopment of their property. They are aware that there are residential properties to the north and west, and that there would be buffering requirements, and they put in a diagram included in their application material showing how they would buffer and screen the development in the future. And so to the approval criteria, they vary. With respect to the comprehensive plan map change, the criteria are found in the administration section of our comprehensive plan. There are five different factors that could lead to a justification to change a comprehensive plan map designation in the manner requested. One would be, you know, demonstrated public need, unpredicted population growth, or employment need would be another. Orderly economic provision of key public facilities is one, and that's the one that they point out is the one most relevant to their request, given the nature of the service they provide, that they are our sole electric utility provider in our area, and that is certainly a critical service in the community. Another reason could be the ability, that the changes needed to be able to logically extend public services to other properties that are already, zoned and in the city. And neighborhood compatibility is another factor as well. With respect to the zone change, it's public necessity, general welfare. That's your standard. You've seen that a number of different times. That's under, that's in the municipal code, NMC 1436010. So that's the criteria. My staff report that I put together addresses each of those, and one additional one, which is an administrative rule that we have to keep in mind, which has to do with the transportation planning rule. That's the OAR 660 Division 12 provisions, which says you can't approve these if it has a significant adverse effect on the transportation system. And then that administrative rule goes into explain what a significant adverse impact is. And I addressed each of those factors in the staff report. This is not a significant adverse impact. Were they to route all of their traffic through the residential neighborhood? Yeah, that would be. But that's not what they're proposing. They're proposing to direct their traffic to Edenview and US 101. Yep.
There's a statement in your staff report that says, yeah. It is expected that the new facility will use Northwest Edenview as a primary access. Mm-hmm. But Northwest Edenview, oh, I see. So you're talking there about 9th Street and 23rd Street, not having any additional traffic.
Correct.
But Edenview will.
Right, but Edenview is a collector roadway, and it's intended to handle significant volumes, and most of their traffic is going to be going, to the signal. So we do have, when they do get to a point where they're actually doing the redevelopment, that's where we'll be having more detailed conversations about improvements potentially to Edenview as a result of the project, and we have the provisions in our municipal code that address that under NMC chapter 14.44, which is our transportation standards, those really aren't in play right now. This is more the macro scale zoning question for just the 0.29 acres of undeveloped land. When they actually come in and we actually know where the building's being situated and how it's tying into 101 and Eden View, that's where we'll hammer out specifically what needs to be done on each road.
Okay. Thank you.
But here, the question really is, does it have a significant impact? Just changing the zoning, would that have a significant impact on the transportation system? And given the small amount of acreage involved, it wouldn't. So,
Why would you add a requirement for a visual barrier to the north?
Motion.
Okay, so this is something that'll trigger when they actually.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. When they go to develop their property, one of the requirements in the zoning code is that when you develop a commercial property, for example, that borders a residential zone, there is a screening or buffering requirement. And they were just showing you how that could be accommodated. So that's why. It's a function of the city zoning ordinance.
The Lighthouse Church may be zoned residential, but it's actually a religious site rather than a residential mm-hmm. site.
Right. Most of the screening that they would be putting up would be directed more at the single-family homes that are to the northwest and west. So you wouldn't typically expect we don't condition zone changes to it's not something that it's typically done. They either meet the criteria for the zone change and map amendment or they don't. And like I said, a number of the specific development details, we have other code provisions that trigger at the time we actually have that more detailed information from them that we would apply. And so that'd be part of the plan review and the building plan review piece of it that would happen down the road.
And that will not come before the Planning Commission, is that correct?
No. No, it's an outright permitted use at that location, so there's not a conditional use review on that one. So my recommendation is that they do meet the criteria and that this does warrant a favorable recommendation to the City Council for the reasons outlined in the report and as we've discussed.
Okay, at this point in time, we take a couple of testimony from the PUD. Would like to, some one of you guys or both of you or come
all
on
three
up.
Of you.
Or all three of you. If we could have you state your name, what city you live in, is fine.
Chair Brennigan, members of the commission, my name is Eric Chambers. I'm the Director of Employee, Customer, and Community Services at Central Lincoln PUD. With me today is Gail Malcolm, our project manager, and the dynamo behind our new headquarters build project. For the record, I reside in a very nice town, 6 miles to the east of here, named Toledo.
Okay, so would you like to say something about the project other than what Derek said?
Mr. Chairman, I would just offer a huge debt of gratitude to Derek for his work throughout this process. The city's been excellent to work with. We feel really good about the new headquarters building that we're embarking upon. We don't feel good at all about the safety of our current facility and our readiness to respond in the case of a natural disaster. And so it's a really imperative to us to be able to get the new building constructed and to get it constructed in the right piece of our property. We've done a lot of soil analysis to help us indicate where the best sort of optimal build location would be and to ensure that we're able to provide those services to the public no matter what. Anything to add, Gail?
No, I think that covers it, unless you have questions about, I think, maybe I do. I wanted to clarify that We plan to take the building down, the same number of workers. We have about 50 employees in that building currently. And when we have this new building, we will have the same 50 employees. So the traffic, we might change the pattern a little bit because we do want to do a drive-through for customers. It was very difficult during COVID to not have our customers be able to come into the lobby when they needed to talk to us. Sometimes they don't understand their bills. Sometimes they don't understand the assistance that they have available to them. And we need more, at least face-to-face, or, you know, rather than going through a phone or online for many of our customers. And so the drive-through will be a real improvement for us. That takes more space on the property.
And you said you've done studies to find the correct location for the new building within the property. Is that correct? And I assume that seismic considerations were taken into account. What did you come up with? What corner of the property is the building going to be on?
I still have to come up and speak to that. I will say more than just where we intend to build a building that's just more than meets seismic current seismic standards. Our intention is to build it to, much like we did with the our Northern Operations Center up at Avery, to build it to withstand a 9.0. And so these are robust buildings. And yes, we have spent a lot of time on the geotech portion of it. This is Trace Ward. He's with Glass Architects.
I can speak to a couple of different things. Procedurally, with respect to the two lots as residential lots, Central Lincoln can't even park on them. Right. We couldn't show you something that put parking there in a building in a slightly different spot. So, and the separation between a development or redevelopment of the site and separation between the commercial and the residential, that even if they didn't get changed, there would still be a need for a 10-foot buffer screening and that. So the idea is to protect the residential feel from that commercial feel, and yet Central Lincoln still has a need to be able to function. And we've been looking at ways to best locate the building and yet leave the existing building until the new building is up and ready to move into. It would be easy enough to just say the spot where the building is now works just fine. We'll just tear it down and build new and then move them back in a couple years later. That adds ish $600,000 to the project. We'd rather put that into the building.
And it seems to me you have to still continue to serve your, mm-hmm. your customer base, so you can't tear down the existing building until you have a new building.
I have to find a spot for them to be. Hmm. And where they are is the best.
Question, there's a slope to the west. Where's Edenville, if I recall?
The peak of it is about where, or just next to these two residential lots, east to west.
We all look to you in an emergency. When the lights go out, we want to call PUD and say, hey, warm my house up.
I can wait a minute, but more than that, then I start getting a little antsy.
Yeah.
Did we answer Mr. Berman's question about the geotech work that we did on the property?
We've looked throughout the rest of the site. The existing building has some functions that are resulting from some settlement issues. Anywhere we build is going to take a little bit of soils work, and we're accounting for that. placement. We're looking to put the building in a spot where, again, it's a bit less cost. And yet still, is this okay if I show?
Mm-hmm.
Can I give you each a piece of paper?
Sure, it depends on what's on the paper. Sure. I don't know you.
Yes, we can. I can show that.
Good golly.
Okay.
And we're not supposed to take gifts.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Damn right.
He and I will share. That way, you won't have to be afraid. I'm going to let you have the paper.
You are just so generous tonight.
It's not my stuff, so I can easily give it away.
Yeah, okay.
So, well, I thought I knew what the hell was going on here until I started listening to all you people.
Thank you. So here's Atonement Lutheran. Here's the existing building and parking lot. Correlate it like that.
So the...
This parking area.
Is this where they're going to put the new building?
I think that's what he's going to tell us.
I had a question.
Yes.
So the in reading through this, the lots that you're asking to rezone, that's actually going to be could be part of the building.
Could be.
So it wasn't just for excess equipment for staging for an emergency.
What we're trying to do is balance the location of the new building with required parking, with required stormwater treatment, with staging abilities. Even if all we did was put the building back where it is now, we'd still need room to stage vehicles during an event. And right now, all of that is happening at the top of the hill in residential zone property that it's not okay to do that.
Well, couldn't you use the Northern Operations Center for staging equipment? I mean, that's a huge place.
Right. It does get filled. So we, like, during the ice storm, we had 5 mutual aid crews come in. When a crew comes, they usually come with minimum 3 large vehicles, and so we had approximately 20 visiting huge vehicles on that property. So we do park them there and secure them. Sometimes it's not conducive to for them to run all the way out to the Northern Operations Center. Their outages are located at the south of town, and we stage some things here or hold some. Not materials, but usually it's vehicles. Leave some vehicles in town, and it just makes it more efficient, especially if it's like a trailer with a tractor, a backhoe, or something on it. It's just a lot to haul up there when you don't need to, and all your outages are right in town.
Okay.
Things like that. It's temporary, but needed.
Temporary.
At the time.
Could I follow up on our chair's question? So staging would be in the event of emergency. It's not regular staging. Otherwise, you can keep your equipment up at Iron Mountain Avery.
Correct.
And so if you have these crews coming in when there's a disaster of some sort, you could stage them in the parking lot.
Some of the equipment we hold temporarily on our property at the headquarters building. Most of it is up at the NOC because we have secure fencing and just more security up there.
Yes, you indicated in your report that you're concerned about security, and yet there's no fencing at all on this property to speak of. So. Is this your
Some
concern
this...
is going to begin down the road, or
no.
Do you have a real concern now about sabotage and damage?
Well, there is that. So the building will have some security parameters around it. In it, we are putting in we are planning for some fencing for. Next to the building to secure some of our vehicles. But as far as a perimeter fencing like we have, excuse me, like we have at the NOC, that's, if that needs to happen in the future, fine, but it's not in our current plan right now. A lot of our security is, has to do with inside the building.
So if I'm correct in interpreting what I read here, you would like these residential lots to be converted to commercial, which would allow you the space to put a building, most likely.
Even though the building wouldn't necessarily go on it.
Most likely part of that building will be on part of that newly zoned property. Then, if I read correctly, you're going to at some point eliminate the building that is already there and rebuild that as well. No, you will only have one building thereafter, and that will serve for your emergency setup as well as your day-to-day operations?
Yes.
So
we're going to use the existing building's footprint as for parking.
Right now, at the lower end of the site, you've got the dashed-in profile of the footprint of the existing building. And the plan is that that just goes away, is replaced by parking and driveways and sort of staging areas for trucks.
So this site plan doesn't show the existing building.
It does.
Oh, this is the new building, I thought. No, this is the existing building?
No, that's the new building.
That's what I'm saying.
This is the new.
There is.
This is the dashed in existing.
Oh.
It goes away.
Oh, I couldn't.
And then.
Are you going to shield that from 101? From 101? Are these A rigs, B rigs, these big trucks that you're talking about? Yeah,
A-rigs. Yes, we're still working
yeah.
on all the
screen. Yeah, yeah.
Right, this.
I see.
All we've done is.
You're just praying that we give you the C designation and get rid of the R designation. That's what we're talking about tonight?
C to R doesn't happen.
Yes. Sure, I can see you'd like to be economical. Save me money as a consumer. I understand these things. My dad was a power company executive. Okay.
So did you say rate increase?
Rate increase, yeah.
So okay. I assume we're going to put solar on top of the building, like at the NOC?
We don't put it on top of our buildings.
Okay,
we have freestanding. We have it freestanding, yes. We did not want to penetrate the roof.
And as part of the parking, we're going to put some EV charging stations out there?
Yes to the EV charging stations, no to the solar, or that's not in the plans right now.
Cool. Okay. You would also embrace dark skies?
Yes, as we did at the NOC.
I was going to say that.
Well, I beat you to it.
And your timeline.
We'd like
my
to.
My timeline.
My timeline. We'd like to break ground this spring.
But you still don't know what that soil's like.
We
have it tested across the site in anticipation of finding out where we would or would not want to place the building. We had Geotech come out and do borings at a range of spots around the site in potential areas of development, and we'll end up going back and asking for confirmation, given that this layout becomes the actual layout, we'll ask them to confirm what we suspect at those spots. And then the rest of the geotech goes to what do we need to do to set up areas for parking. Design for support for parking is different than design for support of utility vehicles. Right,
so you're envisioning the building to be poured concrete, far as the, or tilt up as far as the walls are concerned?
All of that
probably
is,
not tilt up, but I mean.
All of that is still in discussion.
Sure, I don't know.
Well, rebar and concrete will do a lot of that.
That's quite true.
But I think you, two of you now have asked about the geotech piece, and traces is technical, so he can't say it. But I can say that the soil in general on the entire parcel is pretty good relative to soils in Newport, and so we feel very fortunate that way. There, you know, of course, there's still some liquefaction kind of things that we'll have to deal with, but it's not bad. We've always known that. We had studies done many years ago, and there's better places on the property than others, and the spot where we have the footprint of the new building is some of the better stuff. Escobar knows that there, how the water used to run from our property toward the church and how it goes past the church, you know, an old creek bed and stuff like that. So there's remnants of that kind of stuff, and the storm drains kind of follow that. But it's really pretty good soil.
Yeah. Well, I kind of brought it up because I walk by the knock every day with the dogs, and we're building a new fire station / forest service station, and they missed on the soil, and they had to go down 30 feet of hauling the old soil out before they could, you know,
get
some stable ground. So I'm sure the cost of that whole thing has gone skyrocketing.
They're on the opposite side of the Avery from us.
It's on the opposite
side. At the
side.
End of 73rd.
Yeah. It's at the end of, it's kind of by where the UPS building is, and it goes up a little bit.
Yeah,
it's kind of where Robert works.
Yeah. Did you do core samples?
At the knock?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Same
we
to
took
you.
A lot, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So a geotech report has been filed
in both cases, up at the NOC and here. We'll need to do some over excavation and treatment in order to limit the amount of liquefaction. Right now, the concern is that liquefaction could cause settlement of, say, up to an inch and a half. The geotech report is always going to say it could be from 0 to 3/4, and what we're trying to do is go away that other 3/4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody else have any questions? Is there anybody out there who's opposed? Don't see anybody. I assume you'll waive a rebuttal.
And we did provide notice to the surrounding property owners. I did have one individual who asked for information, but they chose not to provide comment.
Okay.
You provided the mailing matrix.
Yeah,
I saw.
Pretty extensive.
Okay, if there's nothing else, the record is now closed for testimony. We can kind of go through the commission here as to where our thoughts are. We're gonna make a recommendation to the city council, so we don't really have, that's our authority level. So we'll start with Mr. John Updike, Commissioner Updike, pardon me.
Whatever you want to call me. No, I'm supportive of this. Y'all took all my questions, so that's why I didn't have anything to ask.
That's
and I'm happy with the answers. Yeah. So, and this was helpful. It was a question I had. I was hoping that they would be able to maintain operations. I know that's not germane to our decision making, but it's helpful to know that they maintain continuity. That's great.
Okay, Commissioner Berman.
Yeah, I don't see any problems at all with this. Two lot, it just makes logical sense. It's well segregated from the other residential areas, and I see no problem with it at all.
Commissioner Hanselman.
Well, I hate to see R1 properties disappear, even though we have over 1,400 other acres of property, and yours but a slightly more than a quarter acre. Those two lots are much easier to build on than many of the other 1,400 acres that we have. But I don't see PUD ever wanting to build housing units, and I don't see PUD moving from that site. You have too much investment. So as long as the traffic is bearable, you have collector streets that can handle that traffic. And as long as you shelter or block their view from the public and their fumes, idling diesels are not particularly favorable as a neighbor. Even though you're helping those neighbors regain their power, I understand that. I won't stand in the way of your request.
Hey, Mr. Braulio.
I had the same concern about the loss of residential building sites. I'm very familiar with this area. I think a lot of us are. You know, we've got the Bigfoot plant, the two churches. Sometimes we go up to the PUD building to pay our bills. What resonates with me is, in the event of an emergency, we rely upon the Central Lincoln PUD to keep us safe, to keep us warm, to give us electricity. These are reasonable people. They're trying to have a safe building for themselves, for the public, for the employees. And I would vote in favor of allowing the comprehensive zone, the comprehensive plan change and the zone change.
Mr. Baer?
I'm very happy with the presentation you made, and what Mr. Tokos made, it was perfect. A lot of thought was put into it, and I'm ready to vote.
Okay. I will make a motion.
Well, I get to say something.
Oh.
Patience.
One mouth, two ears.
I was big with the dark sky in the evening. Everybody's spoken. I don't really have any objections other than being a daily visitor of the knock, the outside of the fence, by the way. I have to compliment many of your utility workers who drive the trucks, because me and the dogs always, if somebody's coming out or going in, we kind of always stop there. And the people are always very courteous and friendly. So if you could pass on that, Mr. Dog Walker appreciates their hospitality. The only thing that would be nicer is if some of them stopped and gave those dogs a dog treat like UPS does, then they'd be forever in your debt. And I'd pay an extra 10 cents a month on my utility bill.
Chair, what is the MOC?
Knock.
What is
Northern Operations Center.
Oh, learn something new.
That used to be on the south side of the bridge.
Right,
and
right,
now they
right.
moved it to the north side.
Okay,
close to my house. Close to my house.
So you can run a long extension cord down.
We can run a long extension cord down there. And they're putting in a big 30-inch sewer pipe down 73rd Street.
A lot of homes up there on Iron Mountain.
Not really.
Well, okay, let's move, moving on.
Please.
Okay, so we kind of had some testimony. You want to put a, Rolio, you want to do your motion?
Yeah. In regards to our file 3CP24/3/Z/24, the comprehensive plan and zoning map amendments, which have been presented on behalf of the Central Lincoln PUD, I move that we adopt the their application, that we approve the application, send them off to City Council with a recommendation that the City Council enact the appropriate ordinance. This is a project for the public good.
Okay.
Did you get that all down? I mean, that was a mouthful.
Okay, it's
been. He's got it recorded.
Yeah, it's on the video. Okay, so we've got a motion. We've got a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed or abstentions? Nope. No abstentions. Okay, the motion is approved. Thank you so much for coming, and I'm sure the City Council will act on it expeditiously.
Keep those kilowatts coming.
Make the earthquake safe, you know, rebar and concrete at the knock.
Okay, so next up is new business, unfinished business, director comments, and I think maybe something on the work
program, yeah. So, yeah, just under director's comments, the only item I have left for you is this was included in your package, it's an updated work program. And I would call to your attention that we'll have a brief regular meeting only on December 9th. And that's so that you can take a look at those legislative amendments related to Senate Bill 1537 that have to do with limited land use provisions. These were mandated as part of that bill. They go into effect in January. Like to get them into our code so we're not applying the statute directly. You know, as you may recall from the work sessions, this has to do with land divisions. They will no longer be, many of the land divisions you see, subdivisions, for example, would no longer be going to you. They would be handled by us at staff level. I did confirm with the State Department of Land Conservation and Development that also, remember we had a conversation about non-conforming uses. They got picked up in this as well. I'm not excited about that. I don't really care to have all types of some types of alterations into non-conforming uses I do think make more sense to be decided by a policy and making body such as yourself. But, you know, we can always deny them and they can appeal and then that gets in front of you. So if it was a particularly egregious alteration of a non-conforming use, that has a significant impact on the community, I would probably just deny it, and that way the appeal goes before the Planning Commission. So there's ways to make sure that, you know, policymaking folks get to have a say on stuff that has a big impact. Most non-conforming use alterations don't. They tend to be single-family homes in commercial zones, for example, and they're looking to do a garage addition or something like that.
Well,
but you can get into something like road and driveway doubling the size of their asphalt plant, which could, you know, have a little bit more of an impact on the community, and it's probably something you want in front of a planning commission. So,
but it's true that all those times the people trooped in here from Northwest Natural.
Yep.
And we, you know.
I know. Some of them are pretty simple ones.
For us never to see.
Right. Right. But if they came in and said, hey, you know, we gotta replace this tank and we're gonna make that LNG tank another 10 feet tall and wider, well,
yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's a little bit more of an impact. So we have that coming up on the 9th. We have the joint session with the City Council scheduled for the 16th of December, and that's for you to take a look at the results of the outreach work on City Center revitalization. And what came out of Public Vent 1 and the online survey that's ongoing right now. And then we'll transition into the new year. We need to wrap up a wastewater treatment plant master plan and the policies that go along with it, because we need to be making some investments in that wastewater plant. And until we get this master plan piece done. We're not going to be able to obtain the funding from DEQ to do that kind of work. So we've got to get that tied off. We may have a water system master plan component that gets advanced. I do have an urban growth boundary amendment that's sitting and not moving right now because we need some additional information that will get scheduled at some point. It's a small one.
Have we still got outstanding one with the county that we approved and then they just did nothing?
They chose not to take action and directed the applicant to resubmit to the city with a revised proposal. So, and the applicant hasn't done it. They wore him down. I mean, Hancock just, I think, ran out of energy on that one. I'm having a conversation, actually. You know, I'm on one of the state's advisory committees, rules making advisory committees, that's taking a look at the UGB rules right now and the land swap rules. And we're going to look to see if we can't get some changes to some of those rules. I'm really, frankly, not excited that the county really has a role on the swaps. I don't see it being value additive. They've got a lot of other things on their plates, and you know they didn't have time, frankly, to take this one on. They had all of the.
They've only met three times this year, the mm-hmm. Planning Commission for the right. county, and so you know they can't complain about not having enough time if they don't hold meeting.
Yeah. So, but anyway, there'll be an opportunity to try to get those rules changed so that that's a more viable option. Not that we have a whole bunch of land outside our urban growth boundary that makes sense for any kind of urban development. Most of it's like that, and or it's wetlands, but that particular piece made sense. And they couldn't make it happen. So,
is there any plan to for the fire department to relocate up to
Hawk?
No, the joint facility that's under construction right now?
Yeah, I mean...
No, not near term.
I mean, they'll be able to put 7-8 trucks in that thing. It's massive.
Yeah, I mean, we only have two bays. So we have two bays and crew quarters for 3 or 4 individuals and office space. And we did go ahead and fully fund our part. So they'll finish out the crew quarters and office space as the original build. But to my knowledge, we do not have any immediate plans to have that regularly staffed.
Wow, it's a big building.
They'll be using it for storage, probably for a period of time.
A lot of concrete and rebar in there.
Oh yeah.
Well, you're going to have an active presence from the state.
Under the building like they do in mm-hmm. California.
That's all I had.
Is Toby Murray ever going to do anything with the?
You mean the new owners of the Toyota dealership?
Yeah, I mean the new owners.
Don't know. They pulled the permit and then they're keeping it active, but they've not done anything yet.
They're going to run out of time pretty soon, aren't they?
Yeah, we may have to expire a building permit and then they'd redo it. The conditional use was good for a couple years. I'll have to see where they're at on that. You know, and then they have the option of getting an extension on that too.
Did you say the Abbey was going to get underway? You indicated the west end of the Bay Boulevard was going to get busy. Is that because of the Abbey?
Presumably, at some point, we'll have that hotel down there, that 45-unit hotel.
So they're going to get started on that?
Yeah, at some point. They're not there yet.
It's just like everything mañana.
Like with Toby Murray.
Yeah, okay. I didn't have anything else.
Okay. The meeting is closed.
If you go to the community meeting on the 14th.
It's shut down here.